This is Pastor Mike, and I want to welcome you to part 8 or CD 8 entitled, My King is Coming. What an incredible climax to an 8-week study entitled, What You Don't Know Can Kill You. Can I tell you, my friends, that at the end of it all, at the end of everything that will happen, Jesus Christ is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible said, forever we shall reign with Him. So I want you to rejoice with me as I rejoiced with our congregation as I shared with them, my King is coming. Come on, I need somebody to help me this morning. You're all a little apathetic. I said the church is alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to be part of anything dead. Nothing dead. Stand with me for the reading of God's word. We have come to the end of our 8-week series on what you don't know can kill you. I know that everyone hasn't been here for every service. So what we are doing, or we are preparing this in a series for you, a beautiful case with all the CDs properly titled, and we're going to make this available to you in the next week to 10 days. If you're interested in having the series, there is a sign-up sheet out there on the in the vestibule. Please sign your name. You don't have to pay for it now, but we'll put it all together in a nice package for you. We're asking you to give a $20 offering for that, just for the expense of putting it, designing it, putting it together, printing it, copying it, all that. We're not making any money off of this. This is just paying our expense. But buy two or three and give one to somebody. I know some of you have bought some of the individual CDs, but it's better if they hear the whole series. It all ties together. It all works together. So if you're interested in that, please put your name on the list back there, and we'll see that you get your copy. So glad to have you in the church today. Those of you who came in later, remember there will be no service tonight. We're all going down to Big Spring, Texas, the home of the padded cells, and we're going to help some folks down there. But, no, I'm kidding. But we're going down there, and it's going to be a wonderful time. If you want to carpool with us, be here at 1:15. We'll leave at 1:15. For those of you who are already south of town, we'll just meet you down there. It's going to be a wonderful time together worshiping with our other churches on the district. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to read two verses out of the book of Hebrews. It is our custom to read together, so please get your Bible and open it up and tune up that voice, and let's just ring out the Word of God. Let it echo through this house this morning in honor to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to read verse 27 and verse 28. When you're there, you're excited about God's word, shout, I am.
I am.
Okay, this side over here is very excited. This side over here, let's try that one more time. If you're excited about the word of God, shout, I am.
I am.
That was so much better. Thank you. Thank you for waking up over here. Okay, here we go. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Can we read it one more time? And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. He died once. He'll never die again. Someone wrote a song many years ago, they will never crucify him again. He will never go to Calvary again. He'll never shed his blood again. He did it once. That's all that it needed. That's all it took. But the Bible says, to those who eagerly await. Did you notice that word eagerly? That means you're very excited about Him coming back. You're not complacent about that. You're not apathetic about that. Your conscience hasn't been seared to the point where, well, if He does, He does. If He doesn't, He doesn't. No. To those who eagerly await His coming, He will come the second time. Everybody say the second time. But this time He will come apart from sin. He's coming for salvation, not the saving of the soul, but the saving of the body. We will rise to meet with Him in the clouds of glory. And the Bible says forever we shall be with the Lord. I thank God for saving my soul, but I'm looking forward to the day when He comes and saves this old body. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Only Jesus can do that. Turn to somebody on your way down and tell them He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. If in fact you accept the record of the first four Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you will agree that a man by the name of Jesus did in fact come to earth the first time. He did live among us. He was in fact, as the writer said, God in the flesh. History tells us that He walked among us for 33 plus years. And then as quickly as He came, He left. If there was no more to the story than that, what a beautiful thing to know that such a man existed. But the glorious news on this beautiful Sunday morning is that this same Jesus who left planet Earth some 2,000 years ago is in fact coming back the second time. Even though the words, the second coming of Christ, are not found in Scripture, the Bible does make the assertion in many places that Jesus is coming back again. We read together the text out of Hebrews, and it clearly says that He will appear a second time. So how is it possible that the Old and New Testament Jews were unable to embrace the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and would not only come once, but twice? It's obvious when you read their writings that many of them saw both comings of Christ as one event. According to one Jewish author, the prophecies of Christ's first and second advents are so mingled that Jewish scholars did not clearly see them as separate events. Even Jesus' own disciples, the ones who were with Him every single day that He ministered, had trouble embracing the idea that Jesus was only going to be here for a short time. That He in fact would die. That He would be raised from the dead. That He would ascend into heaven and then one day He would return again. Isn't it amazing that they could not seem to digest the idea that the first time He came to suffer. But the second time He would come to conquer. Do you realize that even though His first coming is recorded in the first four Gospels of the New Testament, there are over 1,800 biblical references to His second coming. 318 of them are found in the New Testament. Wow. Listen to this. 17 books of the Old Testament talk about His second coming. And 7 out of every 10 chapters in the New Testament talk about His second coming. Even Jesus Himself referred to His second coming 21 times. I would say the message is clear, wouldn't you? You better not only get your heart right with God right now, but you better get ready because He is coming back. Oh, come on, somebody help me this morning. He is coming back. Of all the writers of the Old Testament, It was the prophet Zechariah who has given us the clearest and most concise prediction of his return. In chapter 14, he speaks of the Battle of Armageddon, and I shared that with you in one of the series. He describes what it will be like when Jesus sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah said it will split in half, half moving to the north and half moving toward the south. I love this. You see, the same place he left from is the first place his feet will touch the second time. My Lord, I thought you'd get more excited about that than that. What you must know is that right now, the Mount of Olives is covered with graves. So can you imagine the scene when he shows up? I love this. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking of his second coming to those gathered there. And guess where he was when he gave them that sermon? Oh, you're so smart. In Acts chapter 1, two angels announced that this same Jesus who was going away would come back again. And guess where they were? Oh, you're paying attention. When you read the book of Revelations, the prophecies concerning Christ's return are like bookends. In chapter 1, John said, "Behold, he is coming." And in the last chapter of Revelations, chapter 22, John records Jesus' words when he declared, "Surely, I am coming quickly." I don't really know how much proof you need, but the evidence is overwhelming. Jesus is coming back the second time. Can I get a witness from somebody in this house? Now stay with me. Two times in the book of Revelations, we are told that the door of heaven will be opened. The door of heaven will be opened. The first time it is open, it is to receive the church into heaven at the time of the rapture. This is found in chapter 4. In chapter 19, we find the door to heaven open the second time. And this time, Christ and his church are coming out of heaven on their march back to earth. Now listen carefully, because I want you to get this picture. I want you to see it in your mind. When Jesus' feet touches the Mount of Olives, as prophesied, the mountain will split in two. Now listen, this will create a passageway from Jerusalem to Jericho. Dr. Tim LaHaye describes it like this. It will be a stellar event, celestial, cosmic, greater than earth, greater than anything that is found in the heavens. When this event happens, it will suck the air out of humanity's lungs and cause men and women and kings and presidents and tyrants to fall on their knees. There will be no need for spotlights, fog machines, amplified music, synthesizers, or special effects. It will be real. It will be awesome. It will be spectacular. And everybody will see it. It will make Hollywood disaster films look like child's fair when it happens. And when it occurs, there will be no doubt, oh my God, that the rightful Lord, the rightful King of all creation, has arrived on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Get my bottle of water for me, please. Revelations 19, we are told his designation. Everybody say designation. He's given three names. Everybody say three names. These three names encompass the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. The first name that we find is called Faithful and True. This describes his intimacy and oneness with the Father, as well as his eternal existence. His second name is the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. This goes back to the first book of John, where he describes him as the Word who became flesh and walked as a man upon the earth, whose purpose it was to reveal God to us. His third name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say that with me. King of Kings. This indicates his majesty and his role as the only sovereign ruler of the earth. We not only find his designation, but we find his description. Everybody say description. John said his eyes burned like fire. What he is telling us is that Jesus has the ability as judge to see deeply into the hearts of men. I got a word for somebody in this house. Nothing can be hid from Jesus. All mask of hypocrisy will be destroyed in his presence. He describes his head. He said his head was covered with many crowns. John saw on his head these crowns, and he testified to his status as the absolute King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The great London preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, "I take great comfort in knowing that my king has absolute sovereign rule. If I thought there was a devil in hell that Christ did not govern, I should be afraid that that devil would destroy me. If I thought there was a circumstance on earth that Christ did not overrule, I should fear that circumstance would ruin me. But since Christ is king, and I am his poor brother, one whom he loves, I give all my cares to him, for he careth for me, and leaning on his breast, my soul has full repose, confidence, and security." My God, is anybody glad that you serve a king like that? Shout hallelujah! I'm about to get excited. Not only does John describe his eyes and his head, but he talks about his robe. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. He says he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood. Now there is a reason why the robe he has on has blood stains on it. You see, it is a reminder that Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God. Not just quarterly, occasionally here when we do communion, but can I tell you, for all eternity, we will enjoy one continuous communion service to remember with love and gratitude the sacrifice that Jesus made that united us with the Father. Amen. Anybody looking forward to that day? Now we've talked about his advent. Now let's look at his army. The word says that an army followed him clothed in fine white linen. That's us, the bride of Christ. Now there is a reason that we're called an army. You must understand that right now, Jesus' grace and his mercy is abundant. Listen to me, somebody. There is no sin he will not forgive. There is no sinner too evil he will not pardon. Is anybody glad for that this morning? Thank God for mercy and for grace. I guarantee you there isn't a person sitting in this house this morning. You would not be here if it was not for his mercy and his grace. I said you would not be here if it wasn't for his mercy. But I want you to hear this, preacher. On that day, somebody say that day, his long-suffering patience will have run its course. He will come this time to impose judgment upon those who have defied him, rejected him, would not accept him. And listen to when I tell you this. the judgment will be massive. Although we are not dressed in military attire, the Bible says that we will stand with Him united. We will stand there declaring that this Jesus, who we have come back with, has all power to bring justice upon the earth. John said in chapter 19 that His authority will be without question, that He will rule with a rod of iron. At His name, not just every common knee, but every knee of every king, every lord, every tyrant, every dictator, every prime minister, every Ayatollah will bow before Him as a sharp sword of judgment comes forth out of His mouth to bring all nations into utter submission. Isaiah said it best. And the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, come on, somebody just lift your hand and thank Him for who He is. Come on, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Bless His holy name. Now, we have discussed His advent, His army, and His authority. So if in fact He is coming as judge, what is He coming to avenge? When you study the first book, you see clearly that with the fall of man, God's created beings, Adam and Eve, lost all rights to what God had given them to rule over. You understand that? They were in control. So when He comes the second time, He is coming to reclaim what man lost. Are you with me? But listen, this is important. Before God can reclaim it or will reclaim it, He must first cleanse it. After all, who would move into a house infested with rats without exterminating it first? So when He shows up, oh, listen to this. He will root out all rebellion. He will avenge the damage done to His perfect creation by whipping the rebels from the face of the earth. The last part of Revelation chapter 19 gives us the account of His actions. In verse 17, 18, and 21, He talks of the fowls of the air, or the vultures in the English translation, that will be summoned by God to the greatest feast they have ever seen. You know that battle of Armageddon we talked about? Well, this is where the feast will take place. What an awful picture John paints of these vultures feasting on the corpses of the enemies of the Lord. That's one cleansing. Another cleansing is the destruction of the foes of heaven. John said, the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies would make war against Him who sat on the horse and His army. But what a futile effort that will be as Almighty God destroys them with just His word. Another cleansing will take place when God snatches up the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the Bible said He will cast them into the fiery lake. John said they were still alive when this happened. These two evil creatures have the unwanted honor of actually getting to that awful place called hell before their father, the devil, gets there. Now let me make something perfectly clear. The lake of fire is neither annihilation or purgatory. In other words, it's not a place where one is destroyed or purified.
Although it is not popular preaching these days, hell, as recorded in Scripture, is a real place. It is a place of judgment, a place of finality, a place where the fire is not quenched. Hear me. No rebellion will stand against God, whether it comes from the devil or it comes from you. If you choose to reject him, you will pay the price. Such rebellion will be terrible, but most of all, it will be eternal.
Do you see what Jesus the Avenger is doing? He is setting the stage for a new heaven and a new earth. A place where old things, the Bible said, have passed away, and behold, all things have becoming new. You see, the Bible is clear that even creation is crying out for the day of redemption. It's coming. You better get ready. Hear me. There is a longing in the hearts of mankind for their leader to return. Sometimes I wish I could have been there the first time he showed up. But I'm so glad that I will in fact be here the second time he shows up. Hallelujah. What a contrast. Those first witnesses had a story to tell. But think of the story we will have to tell when we see Jesus coming in the clouds of glory. Hallelujah. In his first coming, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But when we see him the second time, he will be clothed in royal robes dipped in his own blood. In his first coming, he was surrounded by cattle and common people. But the second time around, he will be accompanied by the massive armies of heaven. When I looked into the faces of that crowd, I saw my face. I will be there. Hallelujah. In his first coming, the door of the inn was closed to him. But in his second coming, the door of heaven will be open to him. In his first coming, his voice was the teeny cry of a baby. But in his second coming, his voice will thunder as the sound of many waters. In his first coming, he was the Lamb of God who came to bring salvation. But the second time he comes, he will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, bringing judgment upon the world. In his first coming, only a few saw him. But the second time he comes, every eye on every continent, even those buried in the jungles of the deep, shall see him. In his first coming, his only title was Son of Mary and Joseph. But the second time he comes, he will be identified as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no Jesus like our Jesus. Come on and give him your best praise. You see, it is important to understand these future events, if for no other reason than to motivate us to live a Christian life that is acceptable and pleasing to our Father. Brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. Hear my heart. We must live every moment in readiness. It's time to take down our do not disturb signs. It's time to snap out of our stupor and come out of our coma and awake from our apathy. I hope to God that this series of sermons has been a wake-up call for us all. These future events have implications we cannot and must not ignore. We just can't continue living our lives in the same old way Because Christ is coming.
I said Christ is coming. That's the facts, ma'am. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you embrace it or not, Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to take the chance of being wrong by not believing. For in such an hour, the Bible says, as we think not, He will come again. And that will be the end of things as we know it now. I love the old song that says, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joys with us to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing! Oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our precious Savior in the sky. He is coming back. He is the King of Kings and the stand with me, please. With everything within my heart, I've given you the gospel. I don't know how many preachers, how many churches you could go to would give you this gospel. Preachers don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about the cross. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about rebellion, immorality. Jesus didn't design this earth that way. He designed this earth to be pure, perfect, holy. Man has corrupted it. We continue to destroy it. But there's going to be a reckoning. I was watching one of the nature channels the other day. Just, do you know that, you know, they talk about global warming and they talk about all of these things that are happening. If you've ever been to the desert out in California. What's it called? Sahara. Is it the Sahara in California? No. That's in another country. Death Valley. I don't know if you've ever been to Death Valley, but it is the most arid, driest, most desolate place on the planet. The temperature can reach to 129 degrees. Never in the history of Death Valley can anyone remember a branch, a tree, a twig, a weed growing in Death Valley. But today in Death Valley, it is covered with the most beautiful flowers and plant life you have ever seen. Pastor, that's just coincidence. No. It's the earth crying out for Jesus to come back. How do you know that, Pastor Mike? Because the Bible said that if you won't praise me, if you won't lift your voices and magnify me, I'll cause the rocks to cry out in your place.
Oh, you better hear your preacher this morning. The earth is groaning. The earth is crying out for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's crying for redemption. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And I tell you with every fiber of my being, I believe this. I'm going to see Him. Not from the grave. With these eyes. I'm going to see Him. Oh, I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I don't want you to be left behind. Oh, how terrible that day will be for those who have rejected Jesus. You see, you don't go to hell for smoking. You don't go to hell for being a drug addict. You don't go to hell for being a drunkard. You go to hell because you reject Jesus. When you say to Him, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm begging you from the bottom of my soul. I'm begging you, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not absolutely sure that you're ready to go if Jesus had come, if there's any sin in your life, if there's anything that would keep you from going to heaven when the trumpet of God shall sound, I beg you in the name of Jesus, make it right today. Don't let another sunrise capture you lost without Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I tell you, sometimes we say this and people just ignore us as pastors. But I'm asking you from the depths of my heart, I'm asking you to help me. I need every saint of God who's born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. I need for you to pray right now for anyone in this house who might be lost. Come on, pray right now. Pray, pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on, I can't hear you. Open your voice. God, if there's just one person in this house that don't know Jesus who needs forgiveness, give them the courage, give them the boldness right now to admit that they need Christ. Do it right now, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I'm going to ask you a question. And one way or another, you're going to answer. Your answer will either be yes or it'll be no. There's no neutral territory here. If there's anybody in this house that say, Pastor Mike, I need forgiveness. I need Jesus in my life. I'm not sure that if He came, I'd be ready to go. Raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. Yeah, raise it up. Raise it up. If that's you. I need Jesus. I see you, honey. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I need Jesus in my life. I need forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. I know sometimes it seems like a long way down this aisle, but I promise you, if you're afraid to come, there'll be somebody that'll come with you.
Matter of fact, I'll come back and walk with you if you need me. But would you just get out of your seat and come down here? I want to pray with you. If you raised your hand and said you need Jesus, come on right now. Come on, please. Just step out and come. Don't be afraid. Come on, baby girl. Come on, honey. Don't be afraid. Come on. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on, baby girl. I tell you, it takes courage to do this. Takes courage. Oh, I want to tell both of you standing here right now, you're going to be changed today. Your life is never going to be the same after today. Is anybody else that'll come? Hey, listen. Coming to church don't save you. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus, and the only way you can do that is to confess your sins and accept Him. That's the only way that it works. Come right now if you need Jesus. Well, I'll wait just 30 more seconds. If you need Jesus, come on right now. Come on. You just need forgiveness. Maybe you just need forgiveness. Maybe you're saved, but you just need forgiveness. Something in your life. There's something in your life you need to get rid of. You need to get it gone. Get it out. Come on, brothers. I need some help up here in the front. Come on. Brother Don. Saints of God, I want to tell you something. You better hear what your pastor is saying. There is nothing more important in this world than what is happening right at this very moment. Did you hear me? There isn't anyone who loves to shout and dance and praise and give glory and honor to God more than me. But I tell you, there is nothing more important than what is happening right now. I want everybody to help these pray. We're going to pray together. Those of you standing up here with Pastor Mike, I want you to pray this prayer after me. I want you to repeat this prayer. And here's what the Bible says. When you pray this prayer and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. That's what it says. So you got to say the words out loud. You can't think them in your mind. You have to say it out loud. Jesus said, if you'll do it, I'll save you. Are you ready? Church, are you going to help them? Dear Jesus, come on, say the words. Dear Jesus, I come today. I know I'm a sinner. I need mercy. I need grace. I come to you confessing this, believing that you're Jesus, that there is no other God like you, that you gave your life for me. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Take place there. Be my God. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Purify me. I want to be yours. Lord, I promise you, from this day forward, that I'll serve you with all of my heart, that you will be my God, and I'll be your daughter, your son. Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus just for me. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, raise your hand right now and just give Jesus thanks that He's come into your heart. Come on, lift your hands. Don't be ashamed. Yes.